November 1st. Today we begin a new book in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. While Jeremiah was ministering to the people in Judah, Ezekiel was ministering to the exiles in Babylon. He was taken to Babylon in 597 BC with a second deportation, and 5 years later he received his call to ministry. Like Jeremiah, he was a priest who was called to be a prophet. And also like Jeremiah, he preached action sermons that caught the attention of the people. There are four sections in the book that we'll be covering as we read from the book of Ezekiel. Number one, God's call of Ezekiel. And number two, God's judgment on Jerusalem. Number three, God's judgment on the nations. And four, God's restoration of his people. Ezekiel's prophecy emphasizes the glory of God and the honor of God's name. 67 times, the statement, "I am the Lord," is found in this book. And several times, God is said to act for his name's sake, so that his holy name would not be profaned. Had the people of Judah been concerned for the honor of the Lord, he would not have dishonored them before their enemies. Our reading today will be from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 3, verse 15. Now, at the age of 30, when he could have started serving in the temple, Ezekiel was called to serve as God's prophet in Babylon. He was in captivity, but that did not keep the heavens from opening so that he could see the glory of God. He saw God's providence. The vision shows how God is working in his world. What looks like a storm to us is the tool of his providence. The wheels spinning within the wheels and the living creatures going back and forth like lightning. It is all too much for us to understand, but not for God to control. He saw God's throne far above the storm. The wheels, the living creatures, and the firmament is God's throne ruling over all. It looked as though Nebuchadnezzar was ruling everything, but God was still on his throne. The Lord sits as king forever, what it says in Psalms. Next time you face a storm, look high enough to see God's exalted throne. And he saw the rainbow. Usually you see the rainbow when the storm is over, and only an arc at that. Well, Ezekiel saw the rainbow during the storm, and it completely encircled the throne. A symbol of God's grace, the rainbow, assures us that the Lord is with us and will not forsake us, especially when we're going through a storm. And now let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. November 1st, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 15. On July 31st of my 30th year, while I, Ezekiel, was with the Judean exiles beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened to me, and I saw visions of God. This happened during the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The Lord gave a message to me, Ezekiel, son of Buzi, a priest, there beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians, and I felt the hand of the Lord take hold of me. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming toward me from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. The fire inside the cloud glowed like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and two pairs of wings. Their legs were straight, like human legs, but their feet were split like calves' feet, and shone like burnished bronze. Beneath each of their wings I could see human hands. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the two beings beside it. The living beings were able to fly in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living beings on either side of it, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in all directions, without having to turn around. the living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and it looked as though lightning was flashing back and forth among them. And the living beings darted to and fro like flashes of lightning. As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels on the ground beneath them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if made of chrysolite. All four wheels looked the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move forward in any of the four directions they faced, without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were awesomely tall, and they were covered with eyes all around the edges. When the four living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew upward, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the four living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings went too. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved. When the living beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the living beings flew into the air, the wheels rose up. For the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. There was a surface spread out above them like the sky. It sparkled like crystal. Beneath this surface, the wings of each living being stretched out to touch the other's wings, and each had two wings covering its body. As they flew, their wings roared like waves crashing against the shore, or like the voice of the Almighty, or like the shouting of a mighty army. When they stopped, they let down their wings. As they stood with their wings lowered, a voice spoke from beyond the crystal surface above them. Above the surface over their heads was what looked like a throne made of blue sapphire. And high above this throne was a figure whose appearance was like that of a man. From his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. And from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining through the clouds. This was the way the glory of the Lord appeared to me. When I saw it, I fell face down in the dust, and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. "Stand up, Son of Man," said the voice. "I want to speak with you." The Spirit came into me as he spoke and set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. "Son of Man," he said, "I am sending you to the nation of Israel, a nation that is rebelling against me. Their ancestors have rebelled against me from the beginning, and they are still in revolt to this very day. They are a hard-hearted and stubborn people. But I am sending you to say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or not, for remember they are rebels, at least they will know they have had a prophet among them. Son of Man, do not fear them. Don't be afraid, even though their threats are sharp as thorns and barbed like briars, and they sting like scorpions. Do not be dismayed by their dark scowls, for remember, they are rebels. You must give them my messages, whether they listen or not. But they won't listen, for they are completely rebellious. Son of Man, listen to what I say to you. Do not join them in being a rebel. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and saw a hand reaching out to me, and it held a scroll. He unrolled it, and I saw that both sides were covered with funeral songs, other words of sorrow and pronouncements of doom. The voice said to me, "Son of Man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll. Then go and give its message to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. "Eat it all," he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey. Then he said, "Son of Man, go to the people of Israel with my messages. I am not sending you to some foreign people whose language you cannot understand. No, I am sending you to people with strange and difficult speech. If I did, they would listen. I am sending you to the people of Israel, but they won't listen to you any more than they listen to me. For the whole lot of them are hard-hearted and stubborn. But look, I have made you as hard and stubborn as they are. I have made you as hard as rock. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are such rebels. Then he added, Son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Then go to your people in exile and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Do this whether they listen to you or not. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a loud rumbling sound behind me. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his place. It was the sound of the wings of the living beings as they brushed against each other and the rumbling of their wheels beneath them. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. I went in bitterness and turmoil, but the Lord's hold on me was strong. Then I came to the colony of Judean exiles in Tel Aviv, beside the Kibar River. I sat there among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. November 1st. And now, as we turn our attention to the New Testament, our reading today in Scripture will come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Consider him. The book of Hebrews exhorts us. Hebrews focuses on Jesus Christ. The writer wants us to see him, consider him, and keep our eyes of faith fixed on him. Whenever you're tempted to look at your circumstances or at yourself, look to Jesus by faith and rejoice in his faithfulness. And not only consider him, but obey him. The writer uses the failure of Israel as a warning against a hard heart. How does a believer's heart become hard? By refusing his words, despising his works, and being ignorant of his ways. Sin is deceitful. You think you are getting away with it, but all the while, it's hardening your heart and robbing you of blessing. And not only consider him and obey him, but believe him. Here is another exhortation to faith. The fact that the Jews were delivered from Egypt was no guarantee they would claim their inheritance. Because of their unbelief, they failed to enter the land. An evil heart of unbelief will rob you of what God has planned for you in your Christian life. So pay attention to God's word. As Paul wrote, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. November 1st, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven, think about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully and was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a fine house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but God is the one who made everything. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house, but only as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the entire household. And we are God's household, if we keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, Today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested God's patience in the wilderness. There your ancestors tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, Their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So, in my anger, I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. But never forget the warning. Today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him, as Israel did when they rebelled. And who were those people who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Weren't they the ones Moses led out of Egypt, and who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he vowed that they would never enter his place of rest? He was speaking to those who disobeyed him. So we see that they were not allowed to enter his rest because of their unbelief. Psalm 104, verses 1 through 23. Psalm 104 praises God for his fullness as creator. Psalm 105 for his faithfulness as redeemer. And Psalm 106 for his forgiveness as savior of his people. And of course, we'll be reading through each of these psalms as the days progress here on the 1 Year Bible on Radio. How easy it is to take for granted the world that God created. We see the blemishes, but not the blessings. And we forget what kind of world God gave us. It is a place of greatness. Not the greatness of man, but the greatness of God. The psalmist compared creation to the building of a house. Laying the foundation, putting up the beams, hanging the curtains, and taking care of the water system. Only a great and wise God could make this kind of world. And it's a place of goodness. He provides life, water, food, and homes for man and beast, and also the birds. And he sees to it they are cared for. Everything in creation is God's gift to us to enjoy. And our world is a place of gladness. God rejoices over creation, and we should be glad in the Lord. Creation is a window through which we see God, not a mirror in which we see ourselves. And the more we see him, the happier we should be. Only this will make us good stewards of God's creation. Psalm 104, verses 1 through 23. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and with majesty. You're dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariots. You ride upon the wings of the wind. The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants. You placed the world on its foundation, so it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. At the sound of your rebuke, the water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it fled away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas, so they would never again cover the earth. You make the springs pour water into ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the cattle. You cause plants to grow for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil as lotion for their skin, and bread to give them strength. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, and the storks make their homes in the firs. High in the mountains are pastures for the wild goats, and the rocks form a refuge for rock badgers. You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun that knows when to set. You send the darkness, and it becomes night, when all the forest animals prowl about. Then the young lions roar for their food, but they are dependent on God. At dawn, they slink back into their dens to rest. Then people go off to their work. They labor until the evening shadows fall again. Proverbs 26, verses 24 through 26. People with hate in their hearts may sound pleasant enough, but don't believe them. Though they pretend to be kind, their hearts are full of all kinds of evil. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, it will finally come to light for all to see.